You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A couple of weeks ago, a report was released on how New Zealand is expected to deal with COVID over the coming years and the vaccinations we require for herd immunity. I reached out to one of the authors of the report, Professor Sean Hendy, a researcher from the University of Auckland, to discuss what it was all about. He explained what the central findings were, how New Zealand compares to other countries with our COVID recovery and vaccination rates, and whether recent variations to the disease are likely to affect our recovery. I started by asking Hendy for a quick summary of the report.
We've been looking at what kind of thresholds for vaccination we might need in New Zealand, given the new variants that are appearing around the world. What we're seeing over time is that these new variants become more transmissible. And what we know in general is the more transmissible a disease is, the higher the immunisation rates need to be in the population. So what we found is, depending on what variant we were looking at, we might need upwards of 80-90% of the population to be vaccinated. There's obviously a lot of uncertainty in that because we're still learning more about these new variants, and we do see new variants emerging, fairly regularly around the world. But it does suggest that to reach that population immunity threshold, we'll need to have very high vaccination rates.
And is New Zealand on track to do that?
It's hard to tell at this stage. It looks like the number of people who are planning on getting vaccinated is increasing. So more people seem to be expressing a willingness to get vaccinated. And I guess that probably reflects the fact that, of course, the vaccines, they're being used more widely around the world, and we see that they are having an impact. And so people are probably feeling more confident about the vaccines. It is going to be very hard, though. I mean, we know that, our worst case, we might need something like 97% or even higher proportion of the population to be vaccinated. That's not something we've achieved before with vaccination. So that would be quite remarkable. I think the other thing to point out, though, is that population immunity threshold, it doesn't just depend on vaccination rates. It actually depends on the other measures that we have in place. So, for example, if we kept up mask use, if we were making sure that we're scanning in and giving our contact tracers assistance, then that would actually help bring the necessary threshold down. But it does mean we'd have to keep those measures in place for quite a long time.
Do you think the current way New Zealanders use masks and the contact tracing system is good enough? Do you think potentially some sort of government legislation or enforcement could improve New Zealand's odds against COVID?
It's possible we might need that. I mean, I think the important thing is that, it's now looking like we will need to have those measures in place for quite a long time. So it's not something that's going to go away next year or later this year. It's something that we're going to have to have as part of our daily lives for maybe the next 4 or 5 years. And that's not our fault. New Zealand's handled the virus very well, but unfortunately it's spread out of control in many countries around the world. And that does mean that we're probably looking at lifestyle changes like continuing mask use and using the app for some time into the future.
And so talking of getting used to COVID, is there another part of that sort of accepting that we might continue going in and out of lockdowns for the next, I think you said, 3 or 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, look, the good thing about about vaccination is it actually reduces our need for lockdown. So even if we don't hit that population immunity threshold, lockdowns, they'll become more effective the more of us that are vaccinated. So that means if we do need to use a lockdown, it'll be shorter. And as we get closer to that sort of 80 to 90% threshold, we may find that they're not actually necessary at all, or at least they become really infrequent. That's the kind of measure we hope that we can leave behind. I mean, everything really depends on what we do at the border. If you think of the way that we're protecting ourselves at the moment, most of that is based on having quite strong border controls. And, of course, people will be wanting to relax those over time. Many of us have friends and family overseas that we'd like to go see without the need for MIQ stays. That will become possible, and we'll be able to do that in a way that is less reliant on lockdowns for handling outbreaks as we get closer to that threshold. But life doesn't go completely back to normal, back to 2019, unless we hit that threshold.
Over the past year and a half, I think one of the things COVID's been compared to the most is the flu. How reasonable is this comparison, particularly sort of in the context of living with COVID in the way that there's always the flu season? Is that something that might happen with COVID?
Just to make it the first point, you know, COVID is 10 to 100 times worse than the flu, so it is a significant, can cause a significant health burden. I guess the point is that, you know, people might be talking about the flu is with high vaccination rates, perhaps we can, it might become similar to a flu season. I think it's really early to be able to tell. I mean, we're still seeing new variants emerging. You know, these variants may evade the vaccine, they may become more severe, they may become less severe. There's a lot of uncertainty, but, you know, it's possible that that in a few years, yeah, it might be like a flu season. We might have to go get a booster shot, for example, in the way that you might get your flu vaccine every year for new variants of COVID that have emerged, and then it might be just become part of normal life in the way that the flu is. I mean, I guess the one thing I'd add is that, you know, we have developed a whole lot of new tools now for dealing with viruses like the flu, like COVID. That includes the genome sequencing, which we've really just, you know, this is the first time we've really used it in a really systematic way against the disease. And it may be that actually we can use some of these tools to help eliminate the flu. So maybe in 4 or 5 years' time, the idea that we have these large number of seasonal deaths from influenza, from COVID, from other viruses, it might be something that we're able to really bring those down.
The research around levels of vaccinations required for herd immunity, are these similar to other countries? Was there much comparison, or is it quite unique to New Zealand?
We're using a lot of data from the UK and countries like Israel, where, you know, they've got high vaccination rates and they've got had quite a lot of disease. So in some sense, our results are, you know, are going to look similar to other countries. What's specific to the New Zealand context is we look at the New Zealand population structure, the way that we interact with each other, and so that does mean that the results here won't be exactly the same as other countries, but it'll be broadly similar in many countries. You know, I think we, in terms of our population structure and the way we interact with one another, we're kind of similar to other Western countries, although there will be communities within New Zealand where that threshold actually differs. So we've talked about the average threshold for the whole country, but actually, it does come down to individual communities. Say the number of contacts that you have, that might depend on your job, on the school you go to. You know, there's a lot of extra detail that can be built into those predictions.
On the UK again, they're not far from being completely open, I think. Within a couple of weeks, pretty much all restrictions in the UK will have stopped. And there's been a lot of talk in the UK of living with COVID. They're currently at about, I think, 50% vaccination rate for both shots. I'm not sure how much you might know about the UK, but does it seem possible that they're going to be able to live with COVID? And is this something New Zealand might end up doing as well?
Look, I think it's going to be a very difficult few weeks for the UK. You know, the Delta variant is about twice as transmissible as the original variant we were dealing with last year. And so that means that COVID cases are actually still rising in the UK. You know, I think it's hard to say how that's going to play out there. One of the benefits of the vaccine, it not only helps stop transmission, but it also reduces severe disease. And we are seeing that, I think, in the UK, that there are fewer people being hospitalised now, fewer deaths, you know, per infection. And that's a big benefit of the vaccine. But cases are still rising exponentially there at the moment. And that's the Delta variant really beating their current restrictions, beating that level of vaccination. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty as to how that'll play out in the UK. I don't think we can say they've learnt to live with it yet. And so, you know, it's an experiment that could end badly.
And finally, back to New Zealand. From this research, are you optimistic about New Zealand's chances of living with COVID over the next few years, over the next decade?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think from my perspective, there's no doubt that the world has changed. You know, we're not going to go back to 2019, to that world anytime soon. So, you know, the vaccine's not a silver bullet. However, you know, I think New Zealand has taken the pretty much the best path you could choose to take through this pandemic. The elimination strategy has just given us so many more options than countries like the UK have. You know, we've led the last 18 months. We've had some of the lowest restrictions in the world, tight border controls, but within the country, we've essentially lived normal lives. That's very, very different to how the rest of the world has spent the year. We've got lots of good options now. You know, we can keep those border controls on until we hit those very high vaccination thresholds, and then we can think really tactically about how we start to relax some of those border restrictions that don't put people at risk, don't put us at risk of going into lockdown. And so I think, you know, relative to the rest of the world, I think we're still in a really good position.
That was Professor Sean Hendy on how New Zealand can reach herd immunity from COVID-19.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.